All right, so last time we met, that was this morning, we studied those first four verses of 1 John chapter 1. And we read that the Apostle John had heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He had actually touched and handled the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to us, in a sense, it's like I still hear him. It's like I still see him. It's like the things that I've heard and seen of the Lord Jesus Christ have never left me. And as you read those first four verses, you're probably saying, boy, I wish I could experience Christ like that. You know, I wish I was like the Apostle John. I wish it was like the words of Christ and the visions of Christ and the experience of Christ was just that very real every moment of every day of my life. That I've never been the same since I walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to ask you the question. Why is that not true? Why is it that some people don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that some people don't always just ooze God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? Why is that? Well, John has kind of set us up here this evening. The authors of Scripture are really very successful at that because, of course, they write under the influence, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So they're at a great advantage in that, by the way. But also the literary structure, I think, of the book here will tell you that they're setting you up for something. See, he's building us up in the first four verses, and he whets our appetite for an intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You just want to say, I want that intimate walk with him. I want to know him like John knew him. So he's setting us up for that. And in fact, in verse 4, he says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So he's saying, you know, that kind of walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is a walk that produces great joy in your life. And then he says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. And we're going to show you, he says, we're going to show you how you can have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can be a person who just spends time and just loves God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So we're going to read the passage, we're going to pray, and we're going to have our message this morning. But it starts in verse 5. What? This evening. Yes. It starts in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read down through verse 2. So starting in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on our service. Lord, thank you again for this time in your word. Thank you for the reminder and the encouragement this morning, Lord, of your work and your grace in the apostles' life, but Lord, also in ours, that we might have that intimate walk with you that he had. So Lord, as you show us how to do that, in these next few verses. Lord, help us to pay good attention. Lord, help us to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And we might go out and practice it even this week and in the weeks to come. Bless our time in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we read these verses here, chapter 1, verse 5, down through chapter 2 and verse 2, he's going to give us some keys to walking in the light. Some of the secrets of being a person who has this intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the keys to being a person who just wants to spend time with the Lord. And it may surprise you, what it'll take. Because as you read through it, you'll recognize 9 times he deals with a little word that's 3 letters long. It starts with S and it ends in N. You know what word that is? Sin, right? Suddenly we recognize that if I'm going to have an intimate relationship with God, if I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light, if I'm going to have fellowship with God, there's something about sin that has to be dealt with in my life. And so he wants to deal with that. He wants to show us how to deal with it in our lives. So now as you read these verses, you'll notice that he often says, he often draws this contrast. He says, if we say, you see it in verse 6, if we say, verse 8, if we say, verse 10, if we say, but then he'll say things like verse 7, but if we do this, but if, and you've got all these ifs in there. And so what he's going to do is he's going to lay out these contrasts for us. He's going to say, here's what you say. And here's your talk. But if your walk, if what you say is over here and your walk is over here, well, then something's out of whack, right? He's going to deal with the walk and the talk, the walk and the talk, the walk and the talk. And he's saying, make sure your walk is matching your talk. 3 times here, he's going to say, if we say, and so there are 3 keys here I want to look at in walking in fellowship with God. 3 keys to doing that. 3 keys to dealing with sin in your life. So, how do you deal with sin in your life? Well, because dealing with sin in your life and walking in fellowship with God sort of go together, don't they? We cannot have sin in our lives and walk in fellowship with God. And the secrets to walking in fellowship with God are the same secrets in dealing with sin. Now, all the way through this, I want you to imagine this. Okay, get this picture in your head. I want you to imagine a little kid who's just broken his dad's window. And he knows his dad is coming home. And his dad will not be happy that he broke the window. And dad will have to fix it. And he's not going to be happy. And he's just broken the window. The dad's told him not to bounce the ball off the side of the house. And he's tried to do that. And he broke the window. And now dad's coming home. Now how is he going to deal with his sin? Right? What's he going to do to deal with it? What's he going to do so that he can still walk in fellowship with his father? Now, keep that in mind, because as you read through that, that's who you are. That's who I am. You know, we've broken our dad's window and he's coming home. And how are we going to deal with that? Well, notice as you read here, the key to this is found in verse 5. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So before he even gets to the statements, the what if statements and the contrasts and the 3 keys to walking in fellowship with God, he wants you to know that God is light. In fact, he says it the other way around as well, right? Because he says there's no darkness in him at all. So now the concept of light is found in almost every religion. But the concept of light as it's found in the scriptures, as it's found in Christianity, kind of expands on that. Because it shows us that there is a seriousness to sin. At the same time, it shows us also, though, that there's a solution to sin. And there's no other religion that deals with light in that way. And he says, God is light. Light is the most comprehensive characteristic of God. He is light. So, we have lights on in here, right? It dispels darkness. And when you take that into scripture, it moves us really into this truth. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So light not only dispels darkness, but it dispels darkness in this way. It brings truth to my life. I now see, now that we have light here, we see reality as it really is. That's what light does. If we were in the dark tonight, if we came in and all the lights were out, we would not know reality here tonight. You know, you wouldn't even know who was sitting next to you. But perhaps because of the light, it has dispelled the darkness and we have the truth in front of us, right? It's exposed the truth. We know who's sitting beside us, and it's the people who should be, right? You know reality for what it really is because you can see it. And when you take that into the scriptures and you go to the Psalms and you go to the Proverbs, you recognize that this whole concept of light somehow has a practical sense to it. It dispels darkness, and in a spiritual sense, it brings truth to us. It also has a moral sense as well. Because when truth is brought to us, now I know how to live. Now I know how to act. Because truth has been brought to me. Because there was light in here tonight, you knew where to sit and where not to sit, right? None of us sat in somebody else's lap, unless we wanted to, of course. But we didn't do that. You know, the light dispels the darkness. It reveals the truth. It allows us to walk in the right path. So there's this moral dimension to God is light. In him, there's no secrecy. There's no thing hidden. There's no error. I mean, he's all truth. He's all light. He always walks in the right path. He's righteous. God is that. Understanding that, let's go to the three keys. Three keys to walking in fellowship with God. In other words, three keys to dealing with sin. Okay? And the first one is found in verses 6 and 7. He basically says this about dealing with sin. Now, I'll give you half the point now. I'll give you half the point in a little bit, so you got to be listening. The first part is, don't hide it. Don't hide your sin. And it says there in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, now that's your claim. If I ask this morning, how many of you claim to have an intimate relationship with God? I hope all of us would raise our hand, right? That we all have an intimate relationship with God. In other words, we're walking with God. We're walking in the light. I have communion with God. And what we're saying is, yes, we have an intimate relationship with God. So he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, guess what? He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. You're deliberately lying about the truth. If God is light and you're walking with God, how can you be walking in darkness? It's impossible. Anybody here who says tonight, I'm sitting in darkness, is a liar, because the lights are on, right? We can see. Well, unless your eyesight's that bad, but because you're in the auditorium and there's light in here tonight, we can say, yes, I'm sitting in light. And if we say, I have fellowship with God, and if I say that and I walk in darkness, then I'm a liar. The two cannot go together. It cannot, because God is light. And there's no darkness in him at all. There's no secrecy. So it's incorrect, it's improper, it's wrong even for us to ever say, I have fellowship with God, but I am walking in darkness. The truth has not come into my life. I'm walking immorally. I'm walking impurely through life. He says, don't ever say that. If you do, you're a liar. And you want to know what he's driving at here? You can think again, open your mind again, of that little guy who just broke his dad's window. Dad's coming home. He wants fellowship. He wants fellowship with dad. You know what the natural tendency is, even in little boys? To hide. To hide it, right? To walk in darkness. This little guy goes and hides under his bed, right? Or in his closet. And he says, I have fellowship with my dad. I'm just hiding from him. Well, can't be. That's a lie. Okay? How do you handle sin? And how do you walk in fellowship with God? Well, don't say, I have fellowship with God, and then walk in darkness. You can't. This is what you do. Here's the second part. Remember, we said, don't hide it. Second part is, you expose it. Expose your sin. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You know that little guy, you know what that little guy's supposed to do? He's supposed to walk in the light. Right? Not hiding his sin, not pretending it's not there, not standing with his eyes closed and saying, okay, I don't see it anymore. He's supposed to walk out into that light, and when his dad comes home, he walks up to his dad and he lets it all out. He lets it be exposed. He shows his father the broken window. So you say, oh, well, I can't do that with God. I could never walk up to God and say, you know, Lord, here's my life, all the bad. I'm just gonna reveal it all to you. Well, you know, my Father in heaven, he'd never want to have fellowship with me if I did that. Well, that's not right. Because I keep on hiding it. I keep on walking in darkness. I keep on pretending that it's not true. But God says through the Apostle John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So how can it possibly be? How can it possibly be that if I just expose my whole life to God and say, here it is, everything about it, all the good and all the bad, how can exposure bring fellowship? Well, it's possible for you and me to walk in the light. In other words, to just expose our whole life to God, which will bring fellowship to God, because my sin has already been taken care of through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. The payment has already been made. And the punishment has already been taken. Because he says this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't allow God to overlook sin. It doesn't allow God to just put up with sin. Right? It doesn't even allow God just to forgive sin, as great as that may be. In fact, it allows God to cleanse us totally from all unrighteousness, to erase that sin from our account and clothe us in all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And our natural tendency when we deal with sin is to hide it, to pretend it doesn't exist, to hide it from our Heavenly Father. You know, he would never want to see it. And if he did see it, he'd be mad at me and I'd never have fellowship. And what John says to you and to me, what he says here is the key to walking in fellowship is just to walk in the light. The key to dealing with your sin before God is simply to open up and say, here it is, I'm not covering anything up, Lord. I want you to see what I'm really like, inside and out. And if you can do that with your Heavenly Father, you know what? You've taken that first step. You've taken that first step in dealing with sin in your life. You've taken that first step of having that intimate relationship with God. And if today you don't have an intimate relationship with Him, well, maybe it's because you don't walk in the light. Maybe it's because you don't every morning say, God, here it is, for all it's worth, all the ugly truth, I just want you to see it. Maybe you're trying to walk in darkness. You understand, that's just the first step. Okay? As he moves to verse 8, he gives a second spurious statement here. Remember, the first one is, if I say that I have fellowship with God and I'm walking in darkness, I'm lying. The second one is this, and John starts again with an if we say. So he says another if we say statement. He moves to another level, really. And the second key to walking in fellowship with God, the second key to dealing with sin in our lives is this. I'll give you the first part. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin. And so the second spurious claim might be, is this. I have no sin. I'm inherently good. It's just part of my character. I'm just a good person. I've reached spiritual perfection. Right? There's no sin in my life at all. And so John says this. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And the word deceive is an interesting word. It's actually the Greek word planao. You know where we get that, what English word we get from the word planao? The word planet. And to the Greek, a planet was, it was not just a star, but a planet was a wandering star. A star that never stayed in place, but always wandered around. It just keeps moving. And hence, the word really means to be self-deluded. Always wandering, never in the right place. He says, if we say that we have no sin, in other words, I'm inherently good, there's no sin in me. He says, we deceive ourselves, we self-delude ourselves. We planao ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, if we do that, which is the improper view of life, the improper way of handling our sin, I guess we also have to know, and we also have to understand the proper way. If we deny sin, we deceive ourselves. So what is it we should do about sin? Well, here's what we should really do about it. It's found in verse 9. And you know this verse. You've read it many times. You've probably got it memorized, right? Not only should we expose ourselves and walk in the light, here's the second part, we should confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't hide our sin, we expose our sin. Now he says we don't deny our sin, we confess our sin. And as you read through the Old Testament, you read through the New Testament, you wonder how many times people would have been better off if they had just said to God, yes, God, I did it. I sinned. One person I think of in the Old Testament is Saul. Remember Saul when he was ready to go into battle and Samuel hadn't arrived, so Saul took it on himself he wasn't supposed to sacrifice, and guess what? He made the sacrifice himself and he displeased God. And not only that, but in the battle, he was supposed to wipe out everyone, he was supposed to wipe out everything, even the animals and everything, and he didn't wipe them all. He kept many of them for himself and for the people. And Samuel finally shows up and Samuel says, Saul, what's this bleeding of sheep I hear? Weren't you supposed to not keep any for yourselves? Where are these sheep, Saul? You know what Saul did? Saul denied it. Right? He denied it. And he We'll always wonder, really, what would have happened if Saul would have just gone to God and said, you know, you're right. I kept the sheep. I was wrong. I did it. I confess and I repent. You suppose God would have forgiven him? I think so. But there was a heart there of denial. He denied it. But confession, you know, means more than just admitting you did it. That's just the first part. A lot of people will admit they did something. They're just not responsible. I can admit my sins now because I can blame somebody in my past. I can blame my father, or I can blame my mother, or I can blame somebody else, right? We're just not responsible for it. So, letter A, confession is actually A, B, C, D. And A being, we admit we did it. That's the first part. We say to God, I did it, but that's not enough. And then you gotta go to B. B is we must bear the guilt. We bear the guilt. We say, I did it, but we must also say, I am responsible. Right? And even that's not enough. You have to have true confession, you need C. And C is call on God to forgive you. Call on God to forgive you. And John says he wants you to keep doing that. Keep calling on God. Keep confessing your sins to God. Because I think we have no right to assume that God has to forgive every sin that we ever commit. And let us walk in fellowship with him. No, he wants us to admit we did it. He wants us to bear the guilt of it. He wants us to confess it and call out unto him. And then we have D. And if you read Psalm 51, you see the fourth one, letter D. He had a desire to change. And that's really what repentance is, isn't it? It's not simply a confession or admission of guilt, but a turning from the guilt. And so there's a desire to change. And in Psalm 51, David says, Lord, help me to be a person who never, ever does this again. And until we have A, B, C, D, we haven't confessed our sin. So here's the secret. First of all, you don't hide your sin. Right? You don't hide in darkness somewhere and hope Dad doesn't know. Dad doesn't see you. He doesn't see the broken window. You just walk out to your dad, and when he comes in the yard and you say, you know, I want you to see this window. I broke it. I'm responsible for it. You told me I wasn't supposed to do it. I did it anyways. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And Lord, and Dad, I promise from this point out that I will never bounce that ball against the wall of the house again. And you say, well, I could never do that to God. God would be upset with me. You know, I have to hide my sin. And John says, no, the key to fellowship with God is to expose it. God wants you to confess your sin. You know why? Because he can then be faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll be faithful to his word, right? Which he has promised. He has promised that if we confess our sins to him, that he will forgive us. He's promised that to us. And he can be just in doing it because his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has already paid the price for it. And so he says to you and to me, if you think you're walking in fellowship with God and you're hiding in your sin, he says you're lying to yourself. You're a planao. You're a planet. You're a wandering star. You won't stay in the right place. He says the key to walking in fellowship with God is to walk in the light, because his, and then there's something else. It's to confess your sin, and then there's something else. Go to verse 10. We're going to read verse 10 and following. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So here's the third spurious claim. The first one was, I have fellowship with God, but I'm walking in darkness. You don't have fellowship with God then. You're a liar. The second spurious claim is, I have no sin in my life. I'm sinless. I deny the presence of sin in my life. Well, you're deluding yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Look in the mirror. And the third spurious claim is this. Whenever I have sinned, I say, I have not sinned. I did not do it. I deny I have sinned. And this is kind of where the rubber meets the road for you and for me, I think. All of us are willing to say, well, if I walk in darkness, then yeah, I'm really not in fellowship with God because God is light. And most of us would say, I can't deny sin in my life. I know there are times when I've done wrong because and I'm a sinner because of that. But are we willing to say, when we do wrong, I have sinned? If we say that we have not sinned, right? And one of the ways that we do that is by not dealing with sin in our lives, by ignoring it. Because you know what's true? In the first case, in verse 6, we've lied. In the second case, it's worse. We've deceived ourselves. And in the third case, it's even worse because we make God a liar. And His word is not in us. Because you see, everything in God's word tells you that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Everything in God's word tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. Everything in God's word says that you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for me to live as if everything's fine, I don't confess my sin on a regular basis. I don't go to people and apologize my sin to them, confess to them. I don't deal with sin in any way. It's just like I've not sinned at all. I've made God a liar. That's one thing to lie. It's another thing to deceive yourselves. It's a whole nother thing altogether to make God a liar. Because His word tells you that you are. So, one way to deal with sin is to hide it. He says, don't do that. Walk in the light. One way is to deny it. You know, dad comes home and you say, yeah, the window's broken, but I'm a good boy. You know, I don't have sin in my life. Right? My little brother must have done it. He says, no, you need to confess it. And the third way is this. You know, Dad, I didn't do anything wrong. The window's broken, but I didn't do anything wrong. Just live like it never happened. Right? Just pretend like there's no broken window. Just walk up to Dad and keep talking like everything's fine. And when you know, and he'll know pretty soon, right, that everything is not fine. Well, what do we do about that? What is the correct way to look at it? Well, in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So I shouldn't pretend that everything is okay. He says, don't overlook it. Don't overlook it. Just walking through life like there are no broken windows. No, I should strive not to sin. I should actively work to deal with sin in my life. Don't overlook it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Care about the sin in your life. You know, I should be crying out like the psalmist. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. I should be the one who's not walking around like everything's fine if I have fellowship with God, right? I should be walking around like, hey, I'm a sinner. I need to deal with sin in my life. I should strive. I need to strive not to sin. And John says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And so you say, well, I could never do that. You know, how could I ever stand before God and say, Lord, you know, I need you to take care of the sin in my life because I can't. I can't do it. I need your help with me. I need you to help me with sin in my life. Well, how can you do that? Well, the reason you can do that is the same reason that you can expose your sin. It's the same reason you can confess your sin, because God has already made a provision for it. We have a great heavenly Father who has already taken care of the broken window. So you might as well tell him, right? You might as well bear the guilt of it. You might as well say, God, please help me to deal with sin in my life. Now, that's all. The reason that's all true is stated in chapter 2 in verses 1 and following. He says this, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So the reason we can approach sin in our life, the reason we can expose it, and we can confess it, and we can deal with it, is because we have been given, in Jesus Christ, an advocate. That's our first reason. An advocate with the Father. We have an advocate. Now, the word advocate means a lot of different things in the scriptures. There's a few different definitions. It's a word that's often translated as beseech. It's translated rebuke, sometimes encourage, or even comfort. One Greek word, four English definitions. It's a word that says, I need your help. And I need you to come next to me and help me right now. It's a word that says, I need help. Now, sometimes when you need help, you need to be rebuked. Right? That's true. Sometimes you need somebody to encourage you when you need help. Sometimes you need the help of comfort. There are all sorts of different helps, right? In every case, you need someone to come next to you and help you out as you strive to deal with sin in your life. Instead of pretending that there's no sin in your life, you just come face to face with God and you say, Lord, I need your help with this. You know, he's already provided that advocate. He's already provided that one who comes alongside you and assists you. Did you know this is the same word that's found in John's Gospel, where he talks about the Holy Spirit as the Comforter? Jesus promises to send the Comforter who will be with them. He's the one who helps God in his program of convicting hearts of sin in their lives. And now he says we have an advocate. We have one who comes alongside to help us and is willing to help us deal with our sin. And you know what's true about this person? Imagine going to someone whose finances are in total disarray and asking them, you know, I'm having a trouble with my finances. Can you help me with my checkbook? Would you go to somebody like that? Somebody whose finances are a wreck and ask them for help with yours? Certainly you wouldn't, right? Would you go to someone like that? If you have a problem with sin, would you go to a sinner? You know what we have? We have one who comes alongside of us, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one who knows how to balance his checkbook, right? He's the one who knows how to live righteously. He is the one who has demonstrated he is holy and harmless and undefiled. He is the one who understands everything about righteousness. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So you can't say, well, he didn't have the day I had today, right? He probably did, And he had it even worse, I'm guessing, than you did, ever did. Worse than you've ever gone through. And yet he lived righteously. And God says, rather than pretending everything's okay, I didn't sin, you need to say, God, I need to deal with sin in my life. And he says, you've already got a provision. He's your advocate with the Father, the one who comes alongside to help, and he is absolutely righteous. I think that's our first word, righteous. He knows all about righteousness. He's very qualified to help you with the whole process of living righteously. So the one who is your advocate, the one who is absolutely righteous, is also the one, according to verse 2, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So the one who can help you with your sin, the one who will come alongside with you, the one who is absolutely righteous, who knows right from wrong, is also the one who is the propitiation for our sins. Is that the second word, right? Third word. He is the propitiation for our sins. Now, you understand what the word propitiation means? Right? It means to turn away the wrath of God. You know, he's the one who has already made the payment through his blood and through his death on the cross so that the wrath of God has been fully paid for. Therefore, the wrath of God, which should be directed at me, the sinner, can be turned away from us because it's been turned on his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that for us. He is our propitiation. And he says to you and to me, when it comes to dealing with sin in your life, walk out into the light and say, here it is. Don't hide it. Don't deny it. Don't hide it. Say, Father, I did it. I'm totally responsible for it. I need your forgiveness. I don't ever want to do it again. I need you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me deal with sin in my life. And God says, I've got just the solution. I have my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come alongside you. He's absolutely righteous. He's paid all the punishment already, and he can deal with sin in your life, and he can help you with your sin and help you to live righteously and to live godly. And what he's just revealed to us here is the wonderful key to walking in fellowship with God. Do you want to have fellowship with God? Do you want to have you want to walk in the light with your Heavenly Father? Well, here's the key, right? Don't hide your sin, expose it. Don't deny your sin, confess it. And don't overlook your sin, deal with it. And God has all the provision so that he can help you do just that. He has all the provision that when we do that, we can walk in fellowship with him. We can walk in the light as he is in the light. As you see, the Bible carefully and clearly makes you aware that sin is very serious to God. Right? He will not let you off the hook on that one. You're not to deny it. You're not to overlook it. You're not to pretend it's okay. It's very serious to God. And yet our God, who says sin is serious, is the same God who also says sin is solved. It's solved. I've already provided for it through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that which is very serious to me has already been taken care of, and I can walk in fellowship with God. And you say, well, that might be good for other people. It might have been true for the Apostle John. It might be true for the other apostles, but could never be true for me. And John says, I want you to know that is true for you as well. Because he says at the end of verse 2, he says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You are not an exception to that. Right? You are not one who is outside of that possibility. You are not outside of the possibility of God's salvation and sanctification in your life. There's a provision. There's a provision for all of us. So I trust that's true in your life. I would assume that's true in all of your lives. Right? Do you walk in fellowship with God? Do you have an intimate relationship with God? If not, are you hiding your sin? Are you denying your sin? Are you pretending it doesn't matter? God says, walk in the light. Confess your sin and deal with it because He can help you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Lord, thank you for the warnings even you give us. We thank you for the encouragements you've given us, passages like verses 1 through 4. We thank you for the warnings you give us as well, Lord, that allow us to look at our lives and just make sure, to look in the mirror and make sure that we are walking in the light as you are in the light. I trust that everyone here is doing just that. Lord, that we're dealing with our sin on a regular basis. We're confessing it to you. And Lord, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, not from part, but from all unrighteousness, so that we might, again, walk in the light. So Lord, encourage our hearts with this. And Lord, help us even this week to walk in the light as you are in the light. Bless our week. In Jesus' name, amen.